Yo, BJ Gajor with the BJ Gajor podcast, and this is officially take six of the exclusive, long-awaited podcast with the beautiful, talented, and super fit Idalis Velasquez from Puerto Rico.
Woohoo!
Telemundo. You've seen her on Beachbody. You've seen her on Women's Health. You've seen her originally, way back in the day, in the 21-day meta shred as the intermediate model, though she's always been advanced. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, BJ. Thank you for everyone who's listening. It's such a pleasure to be here. And in my previous takes, I said, and I'm going to repeat it, it is such an honor. I love BJ so much. And part of the reason that I've been able to accomplish so many things have been because he was such an amazing role model. And he was one of the first people in the industry that not only believed in me, but helped me, you know, be in the game. And working for him with MetaShred was such an amazing experience. And how much fun was that week? How much we sweat? That was, wow.
I'm glad you had fun. Those are always the worst weeks of my life because there's so much stress. And I want to talk about that today because we have trainers listening, people that aspire to be like you on the covers of magazines and the covers of DVDs, you know, big time television personalities. But the stress and anxiety of those weeks, man, like this is kind of a TMI thing, but like I typically will have diarrhea that week from the stress. You don't sleep. You're depleted because you have to be in super good shape and take photos and look good and be entertaining. And there's so much on the line, all the money, time, and risk that, you know, and then they need this product to be huge.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that too. But I haven't done a project like that in a while, but I'll tell you what, you were a pleasure to, you know, I will say this, the women just have so much extra stamina endurance on these sets. You know, like the guys are like dead. The guys are like lions out there. Like they can go hard for like a couple workouts and then they just have to sleep. And you know, the women are lionesses. They keep going, they keep pushing, they keep smiling. And you know, one thing, those listening as well, like there's a lot of people in fitness that are good looking, that are fit. But I think what always has separated you from other people beyond the Latina flavor, which Uncle Baby Biscuits is partial to, it is just the simple fact that you really have a beautiful knowledge of programming and you have a real joy and passion for it based on your origin story, which we'll get into. And, you know, the fact that you're a busy mom who finds a way to make it work at an age where people are thinking that their prime is behind them. So, let's kind of start there. Let's start where you found yourself. I'll say one more thing too, in praise. One of the most plyometric, you are pogos, bouncy. I said like a gazelle. And you obviously have a background in track and field and you're a runner, but you have a beautiful fast twitch fiber composite.
Yes.
So I can always appreciate that as a former athlete myself. So, tell us how you found your way into what they call the fitness game.
Yes, I've been blessed. I was raised by my dad, and he was a former athlete in Puerto Rico. He played several sports, and I always joke that I was a boy that he didn't have, even though I have a brother. So we always bonded through sports since I was 4 years old. By the time I was 12, I entered a school that specializes in developing athletes in the island. So you pretty much live in that school from Sunday to Friday. And I graduated all the way until I was a senior. And then I went to full scholarship, did track and field. I had the opportunity to represent Puerto Rico in a lot of major international events in track and field, as well as in judo when I was a teenager. And from there, you know, I ended up doing Division I here in FAU in Florida for a semester. And then I had a lot of setbacks. I had a really bad neck injury due to a car accident and also years of a lot of plyos, lots of training. I did the heptathlon and the long jump. And the kind of training that I went through was pretty brutal. Sessions of 400 to 500 plyometrics. And I'm not talking just like squat jumps. And I'm talking like very advanced plyometrics, single leg work. And I growing up in an island, I didn't have the best nutrition, not because I grew up in an island, but because of, you know, my family, the lack of knowledge when it came to nutrition. I was a picky eater. So I was training a lot, but I was not feeling my body. And by the time I was 21, 22, you know, I started getting injuries. By the time I was 24, I already was in a car accident, and I just, my hamstring kept blowing up, my low back. And then I went to an MRI after experiencing symptoms of numbness in my hands, a lot of headaches. I would wake up some days and I couldn't move my neck. And I was told that, you know, I had pretty bad herniated disc, that my neck looked like at the time, and I was 24, a 65-year-old lady that hasn't been taking care of her body, and that I needed to stop sports, lifting, running altogether. And imagine when that's all you grew up doing, when that's all you know, that is pretty devastating. And I'm sure there's many of you that can relate to that, that when you have this passion and, you know, it becomes a big part of who you are, your identity. And I remember thinking, okay, what now? Like, I don't know what else to do. And I was a mom at a time. I was a wife. I completed college. I tried to find work jobs. And long story short, my body, because I was listening to the doctors, I ended up getting two more meetings with different doctors, and they told me the same thing at the time, that no, like, just keep it low impact. You can do yoga, you can stretch, you can do cycling. So that's what I was doing pretty much, but it was kind of boring for me because I went from lifting, running, doing interval work to just kind of like having a more sedentary life. And one thing that people don't tell you when you grew up doing sports all of your life, it's like when you stop, oh my God, BJ, like your body just starts falling apart, like everything. So all of these pains and aches, it was just too much. And it was a symptom, obviously, of my body. You know, I wasn't as strong anymore. I wasn't as active. I wasn't doing strength training. And by the time I had my second daughter, Valentina, when I was pregnant at 26, on week 32, I had a pretty scary thing that happened. I had a small bleeding in the brain, and that obviously was life-changing for me. And that postpartum, not only having to heal physically, mentally, the normal healing that it requires for women going postpartum, C-section, but also mentally, I really hit bottom when it comes to my health. I would struggle to bathe my daughter at a time. And the pain just was like too much. My life pretty much consistent in doctor's appointments, MRIs, CAT scans, and I feel like a shell of the person that I used to be. And I was, part of my identity was like, oh, Idalia is like, she's fast, she's strong. Like, you know, it always felt very empowering to move well and to be strong. And it was a big part of my confidence at a time. And after, you know, a year going through that, I kind of like got fed up of not getting answers. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to focus on what I can do. I started buying all kinds of books, educational, about nutrition, about personal training books, even though I didn't at a time, it wasn't a goal for me to get certified. And I just started applying a little bit what I knew from my coaches, what I knew from, you know, all the years that I was blessed to train with some of the best in the country and in the island. And I started feeling stronger. I made a lot of mistakes in the process. I little by little changed my nutrition because I am probably one of the few fitness experts that don't like to eat vegetables till this day. I force myself like a toddler to eat them. And I just discovered this crazy love and passion for fitness, not just to fit in my jeans, not to look a specific way, not to compete on track and field to win medals, but just to feel good. And that really gave me a new purpose and a new passion to help women. And then I just started doing free bootcamp classes because at a time I couldn't fathom the idea of charging people for my knowledge because I just wanted everybody to feel good and I could relate to women who were not athletes for the first time, who also have no knowledge, who have been told you can't do this. Like you have, you know, you live in pain or you have, you know, it's hard for women when they have 100 pounds, 200 pounds, you know, extra to start moving their bodies. And, you know, before I knew, I was running a local business that it translated into a digital business. And then I started, you know, I went for it. And then I started working with Women's Health Magazine, with Men's Health, thanks to you. And the rest was history.
You want to know what's in my shake?
What is in your shake?
I've got, this is a very professional podcast. As Idalis was revealing her life story, I was pouring the second half of my smoothie into my my cup here. You got to fit it in, right? You just
got
to fit it in.
You got to. You know how many meetings I've done eating yogurt and like, and doing shakes as well. I get it.
I was absolutely listening. I have a couple things I want to unpack on what you said. You said a couple very profound things. But my shake, I've got, well, today it was a little bit different. So I have a papaya, mango, which I know you like. There was some berries. I have a plant protein powder, collagen, a cup of the Fairfield chocolate milk, and ice, crushed ice to taste. So it's a nice, delicious little treat. One thing that Idalis was talking about that was I really related to was, I know what it's like at a young age. And when I finished my football career, I was 22. And the doctor told me I've got two surgeries on each knee, a lot of torn cartilage, and basically arthritic conditions in both knees at the age of 22. And to tell someone that young that they have like the joints of a, you know, senior citizen can be very depleting and depressing. And what you have to do is you just got to take the medicine. You can't change the circumstances, but all you can do is go ahead, learn about your body, commit to the process. Because again, you can't sit back when you're dealing with injuries. You have to go and attack it, because injuries are like a cancer.
Yes.
They breed depression, negativity, right? They make you more inactive, which gain more weight, which makes you more inactive. So I love the fact that you kind of just, you know, you got to have your little pity party initially.
Oh, yeah.
Feel bad for yourself. And then you got to strap it up and you got to get to work and you got to learn about your body and commit to what might be a long process of rehabilitation. But what's the alternative? Pain pills, a wheelchair. So you got to do something.
That is one thing. And I always tell people, like, no matter what you're going through, to focus on what you can do. And maybe you cannot run, but you can swim. You can run in the water. You can do the elliptical. You can do like strength training, which is so important. And you mentioned, you know, the depression and anxiety. Yes, BJ, like everything that you said. And one of the things that I always tell people is just to stay focused on what you can do. A lot of times people are told when you have an injury, or in my case, disc problems in your spine, that you can lift, you can run. And, you know, if you can run, you can still swim, you can do low impact exercises, find exercises that feel good in your body. There's always something that we can do, because like you mentioned, that depression, and in my case, even the anxiety that you feel when you are in pain, when you lose your health, is real. And for me, movement was healing. And I know that for many of my clients and many of the people that have done our programs, it is true. And I am so grateful for the knowledge that I took action, and I did not settle for the whole, like, well, this is it, when I was only in my mid 20s. And now I'm going to be 40 in a few months, and I run miles, I'm lifted. I still feel so amazing in my body. And looking back, that's all it took. Now I'm going to take action. I'm going to say, focus on what you can do. And I know for many of you that are listening, it applies. And it's obviously, I'm not as fast as I used to be. I can't sprint anymore. I feel like if I go over 70% of my max speed, I'm going to blow a hamstring, but I'm still running.
You know what? Can I ask you a personal question?
Yes.
What do you do when the United States plays Puerto Rico in a sports competition, in the Olympics? Who are you cheering for?
So I actually, that just happened in the World Baseball Series. We're fanatics of baseball, and it was here in Miami, and we went to almost every game. And it is so weird, because I've been in the United States for 18 years, and I feel I am an American. So I feel like 50-50, yes, I'm an American, which Puerto Ricans are American, U.S. citizens, but it is that it's hard. I don't know. I finally reached that it's hard for me. So most of the times I'm always cheering on United States because they do better in sports. But the few times, like, I know there's in baseball and in track and field, there's a really good athlete. I might cheer a little bit harder for Puerto Rico, only because they are the underdogs. And I feel like I am an underdog in many things in my life. So it's, you know, it's good to, you know, to send them a little extra love.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I'll never forget when Puerto Rico beat the U.S. in basketball. This is like, I think it was just leaving college, maybe like 2005, 2006. And it was like, it was a shock because, you know, the U.S. is known for basically the birth of basketball and the popularization worldwide. And we always had the best players, but you can't sleep on Puerto Rico.
No, Puerto Ricans.
I'm in.
We're feisty. They're feisty. They're powerful. And you know, and at the end of the day, we still have, we're blessed that we're still, you know, U.S. citizens. So we have resources and we get to learn from the best who are, in my opinion, United States. The coaches here are amazing.
Do you know what my favorite meal is?
What?
Mofongo.
Everybody loves mofongo. It's so good. And if you haven't had mofongo and you're listening, please have some mofongo. But I have to warn you, not everybody makes mofongo good. Like some of them are too hard and they're like hard to swallow. And then you feel like, ugh, digestion. But when made right, it is, oh, so delicious. So good.
I'm a meat and potatoes guy. And it, basically it's starchy plantain. So you get the whatever meat you want to go with, right? And the juice just simmers all over the meat into the potatoes. You can sop it up. So
for, it's comfort food, man. Like, it's Latin comfort food. It's so good.
It's also it's an amazing meal for a worker, someone who's going to be active all day long because it's very high in you know, good carbs, starches. But I mention that because that meal blew me away. I can't get my wife to make it too often. Every once in a while, I'll ask it for my birthday meal. Takes a lot of prep, and she's busy.
It takes time. Yes, it takes.
Yeah. So, poor BJ, his wife doesn't make a mofongo.
Oh, come on now, me. Give me some mofongo. Just kidding. It's a lot of work. And to be honest, I've never made mofongo in my life. I make a mean arroz con gandules. I make a lot of Latin dishes, but I haven't. I've never made mofongo.
There's also it's not a tamale because it's a Mexican.
Pasteles. They're called pasteles. Yes. Good.
Naomi's mom, she's from the country. She still has most, like, she's the only one. Her and her sister came to the States when she was a teen. And then she met my wife's father, who unfortunately passed during COVID, but also Puerto Rican in the Bronx. And she's a great cook. So anytime I visit, she'll have pasteles, you said?
Yeah, pasteles, yes.
Oh, man. Like those are, you got the ground beef, the banana leaf.
Yes.
I love food. My wife does too. So I'm always fascinated by the cuisine of different cultures. Oh. And I love Puerto Rican food. I mean,
Puerto Rican food is the bomb. But it's also the reason why I struggle till this day with healthy eating, because it's like you grew up just eating that like so often. And then I realized, wow, like it's still amazing and I still incorporate it. I'm very flexible, but yeah, you're pretty malnourished if that's all you, you need some antioxidants, more fiber.
Oh, for sure. You know, that's one thing. It's a tough battle when you have a particular cuisine you grew up on. Like for example, very heavy rice and bean starches. Yes. My father grew up in North Africa, so they have a lot of couscous. And when you're young and you're active, you can eat a lot of that stuff and you'll be fine. But as you get older, your metabolism slows. It's not that you can't eat the foods you love. You just gotta be mindful, especially with the carbs, that, you know, one or two servings gives you about an hour of activity. If you're doing no activity, you gotta be really more vegetable fruit focused. If you're doing an hour of activity, just keep it to a cup of rice, so maybe a cup of beans, but you can't go crazy. And as you get older, and that's the thing. People think it's all or nothing. No, you gotta lock in the portions.
Well, I'm going to give you a little, you know, just going to flex, but when you're a runner and you lift, you can eat way more than that carb.
Absolutely.
You need to. So yeah, it depends also on the activity that we choose to, you know, to pursue. And I love running. To me, that's like for my therapy. I do a hybrid always. Like I prioritize, I always say like strength training is like eating my vegetables. That is a foundation of my workouts. Strength, you know, keep the muscles. Like I remember you were one of the first fitness pros that I heard talking about how important it was to keep muscle before it was all over, you know, like articles and things like that. And anyway, so strength training first, but for me, when it comes to cardio running and in my case, when you combine those, then yes, I always like to remind women, no, you need to eat your carbs too. But not always, you know, mofongo.
Oh, delicious. So actually, last thing on mofongo, because I'm a fan. We went to Puerto Rico, visited with Naomi, and I think, I don't know, it was like a special event or maybe our anniversary, but I had a special mofongo that was stacked.
Oh my God, you got one of those? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it had marinara sauce.
Yeah, if he had like steak or something, or they put a little chimichurri, yes. Mm.
what more do you want in a meal?
It's so good. Now, like, I'm literally like thinking about it. My daughters are, you know, they've been raised here in America, but that's the one thing they're like, Mom, please teach us how to cook all the Latin dishes, you know, like before we go to college and we, by the time we get married, because, well, it's delicious.
It is. People have gained so much weight from listening to this podcast. But, you know, I think you're listening to two people that do love to eat. And I think, you know, one thing that's really sad about fitness is we have a negative association with food.
Yes.
That we can't enjoy it, or that we'll have to starve ourselves. You kind of this binge eating type of scenario, a lot of cases too. So, and it's tough. You got to find the balance, but by no means do you have to allow your fitness to steal the joy in your life you find in food with, you know, other things. So let me ask you this question. What's it like being a huge star?
Me?
Yeah, there we go. That's the question. These are the hard-hitting questions.
Well, first of all, I've never felt like a huge star. I've definitely done a lot done a lot of firsts in the industry as a Latina woman, and it's something that I'm really proud of. I was the first Latina super trainer for the company Beachbody, now called Body, and that was one of my main goals. And I was also the first Latina in the fitness industry that had the opportunity to be in the cover of Women's Health and to have a DVD with them, a bilingual DVD. So that's certainly an accomplishment and something that I'm proud to represent all women, but especially the Latina women. But when it comes to being a star, I've never felt like that. I cannot be more grounded as a human. That's a Puerto Rican in me. We keep it real. But certainly, like, I know that I'm grateful for all the things that I've been able to accomplish. And I've always, you know, you've been part of that. You know, it's hard to get started in the industry. It's so crowded. It is nowadays, anyone is so easy to just recycle content that other experts and just repeat what other people have done, and, you know, and grow your audience. And I know that especially you started like before me, and you were one of the first ones in YouTube crushing it. You were streaming your services, that you were ahead of the game before many companies were doing, you know, selling streaming fitness. I know for a fact that we were one of the first ones in Instagram posting workouts, and I'm never gonna forget that. Like, and now everybody's sharing workouts. But with that point, it's hard to get noticed, and it's important to recognize the talent and the real ones. And I know that for me, you've always been one of my idols, one of the people that I admire the most, and you were one of the first ones that, you know, in the midst of that, you gave me a platform. You supported me when you were the fitness director of Men's Health. And, you know, sometimes you do need that extra validations from people that have done it first. And so thank you so much. But it feels normal. I still have to cook. I still have to clean. I still have to do the same thing.
You know, and that's what I would expect with someone like you, very down to earth. But even down to earth people, things change when all of a sudden, like,
yes,
not only like hundreds or like millions of people were seeing you, seeing your content. Most of it is positive, but especially when you're doing that level of attention, it takes one negative comment to ruin your day. And then you go home, it's your family, and you're negative, and you're hurt, and you're depressed, and it affects the whole house. So talk to us about how you dealt with that.
So for me, my experiences have been mostly positive. I got the opportunity to create programs and series with different companies. And even though they were not the programs, you don't always get, depending who you work with, like full, you know, you're not still the boss yet. You kind of like pay your dues, and you don't get that full 100%. ability to create what you want to create. I did the best of what they were asking for me and the testimonials that I've received over the years. And when people have recognized me in events, it has been amazing. Obviously, there's always some negative comments here and there when it comes to the programming or things that are marketing that are not in my control. And of course, like, I am a very passionate person. I put my heart into everything that I do, and it always affects you a little bit, but then you have to remind myself, okay, they just don't know better. They don't understand, and they've never done it. And I've learned to kind of like, I accept that criticism. I do whatever I can better the next time. But a lot of times it's good to kind of like, you know, unless somebody has done it and I can understand and they've been in the arena creating and through that process, it matters until a certain point, because they don't know what you've been through, the sacrifices that I've made. I know for some of the programs, I've had to be months away from my family to create them. And just the process overall, the creativity, we are trying to make at-home fitness fun. And at the same time, maintain a programming that makes sense, that people are going to get results. And that is a very, it's a hard balance to create and to create, okay, you need to create 24 workouts for 4 weeks. That's like more than, in my opinion, people even need. So it is fun, but it's certainly a hard process. And for me, is when I feel like an athlete too, because every time I'm getting ready to do a crazy production that I know I'm going to be filming multiple workouts a day, that's when the athlete in me kind of like ignites and I start training for performance. And I'm like, okay, my whole goal is not just to look a certain way. It is like how much in shape I can get so that I feel my best, I'm not a sore, and I still can bring the energy. Because people forget that a lot of the content that you see with At Home Fitness, I know that in my projects, I do 3 to 4 workouts a day, including when I was filming running content. So I was putting in miles and miles and miles. So you have to be like an athlete. There's no room to let any negative mindset, to allow yourself to be tired. You know, you've been there. There's so many days that's the last thing your body wants to do, to work out or to pretend that you love fitness, when all you want to do is just be in a corner and just take a nap or cry. And then you just have to like, you know, I've been in situations that I'm about to film and to for like 10 seconds when they're doing the countdown, I just feel like, how am I going to do this? And then you just do it. And I'm grateful for the athlete in me and my experiences as in sports, because I can always tap into that.
Red light performer.
Yep.
And by the way, this is the benefit of like why I've always loved working with athletes, is that they're gamers. They know how to step it up and flip the switch. Yes. You don't always have to be at your best, but you always want to be pretty close. You can flip the switch and get into that mode when you need to. And that competitor spirit. Now, I wanted a couple follow-up questions. One, was there a particular comment that you remember the most, like in terms of criticism or that like?
Okay, so there's two comments that I remember. The first one was, I read, for the first program that I created that was all in Spanish, the first program in Spanish produced for Beachbody called Mes de Mas, I was pregnant at a time and people did not know that I was pregnant during filming, and I was filming 3 workouts a day. These were all body weight, and they were very high intensity, like too many burpees to count, too many. And it was my introduction to Beachbody, so I wanted to do a good job. I didn't want the pregnancy to be kind of like, even though technically it is an excuse, I was in weeks 13 to 16 while I was filming. So you're in your second trimester. I didn't want that to hold back from people. You know, we were hiding the belly with loose clothes. So I think I worked really hard, but because it was an all body weight workout and I'm not a big person. I'm naturally lean. And I guess people thought I was not strong enough. So I remember reading a comment in the Beachbody page. Oh, she just didn't come off as strong to me. And I was like, oh my God, did they even knew that I was pregnant and doing 3 workouts a day? And I did every push-up, every burpee at a high level intensity. Like most people can't even do that. So, but that one, I kind of let it go. But I did kind of like, come on, like, I feel like I'm strong. Why? And that was a person that didn't even do the program, I think. So I have to remind myself that, I was called out into not being strong just because of the way I look and the type of workouts that they were. And the other one was with 30-day breakaway, which is a hybrid between 20-minute workouts for lifting, like pretty fast-paced resistant training, followed by walking or running or interval training and running. So that was a hybrid. That was the first of its kind for Beachbody. The goal with this program was, okay, you know, again, it was the first one. So how can I create workouts that people who are new into running can do by they can just walk all the recoveries, if they can slow jog the 30 seconds to 90 seconds interval on average. But then people who are more experienced, you know, they can just continue to jog and then attack those intervals with more intensity. And it has been proven to not only help you with your performance in your 5K, 10K, and even half marathons, but it's just the combination of both was really, really amazing for the physical transformations and the fat loss. So there was runners who, again, have not even done the workout, but because the marketing said, oh, this is for beginners and to run your first 5K, which is something that was out of my control, there were a few people kind of like critiquing the programming. And, you know, and you can kind of like defend yourself. You're not going to explain. It's like, okay, like I was doing the best, like this is not a one size fits all, but it came pretty close to being like as versatile as I could make it. And at the end of the day, I don't have a specific number, but more than 60,000-70,000 people that were not runner were able to come. And years after, the amount of testimonials from people that not only became runners, but that are continuing to do PRs, like personal records in running, and they fell in love with running in a positive way. A lot of people tend to see running as a punishment, and or they think, oh, I'm not a runner, running hurts, it's gonna mess up my knees. And they don't understand that is, you know, there's a process, there's a, you know, there's specific exercise that you also need to do, and that you cannot just start running if without building a strong foundation of fitness and strength training before that. So yes, I remind myself that, but I'm not going to lie. You know, especially if they attack the programming, I'm like, who are you? Do you even have certifications? You know, like the human in me is kind of like, how dare you?
A couple quick things there. And again, this is where we all have to get better at this, because you don't realize how virulent and viral negativity is. Because you go and you drop one negative comment to an individual, now that ruins their day potentially, or puts them in a bad mood. They go home and they bring that negative energy into their home. Then their kids and their significant other take the negative energy and take it into their schools, into their communities. And before you know it, we're all a bunch of hateful, cynical people. So you have a choice. Listen to me carefully, people. You have a choice. Do you want to spread positivity, or do you want to poison the well in the minds of other people with your negativity? Now, all that being said, criticism is part of the game. This is what happens when you choose to be into that type of spotlight. But I have to say on your behalf, people don't know this. Most people you've seen in fitness on TV and in DVDs, even in books sometimes, they're actors and or models that have other people design their workouts. Now, look, musicians, they have, there's a lot of great singers that have other people write their songs. That's fine. But if the voices are the same and you also write your own music, that's the more talented artist. And that's a rarity. And you make your own workouts.
I do. Yes. And that's one thing.
A lot of them, right? So if someone asks me, you know, I love food. Hey, make me the best biscuit, or make me 30 biscuits. Now, what do you want? Do you want the best biscuit in the world, or do you want me to chop that thing up into 30 little pieces? And that's what happens with a lot of the stuff too, is there's times and there's deadlines, and they want to get X amount of content to prevent the value, which means we have to make the programs not ideal or optimal for entertainment purposes and financial purposes. So now you know, if you're listening, there's a lot that goes on.
There's a lot.
Okay, so be gentle and just remember that they're there for a reason.
And ask questions too, like to the trainers instead, instead of attacking, or just ask, be more curious about the process. Ask them, you know, like be more of a student and be more coachable instead of just automatically like, you know, critique somebody's work, or when you don't know the whole story and you don't understand, there's a reason why this was this way, you know, like create a certain way. But But honestly, like looking back, you know, that was a few years ago. I remember, like, I also found a lot of people in the internet, like, defending me. And I'm like, oh, you have your people too, you know. It was like, it was nice. And yeah, it's just, you know, you just develop a thicker skin and you continue, you know, to move on and just create even better work. Like, use that for as fuel. Yes.
So, and I'll ask you this too, because I know this has happened to you, because it happens to all of us. But I mean, I know myself, I've been on some projects where, you know, you're tweaking the programming and so the moment you start.
It never feels perfect. You keep changing and shit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. Like, I could spend a year on a single workout. Now, I think I could make it better over the course of the year, but usually in the first 20 minutes I spend on it, it's 80% of where it needs to be. And so again, like, you want people listening. This is not just fitness content, all content.
Content, yeah.
Do you want a million movies or do you want 100 masterpieces? We only have so much time, energy, and resources. And it's strange. It's a strange time because people now, they want quantity.
Yes.
And now there's just too much. There's too much content. There's too much content. We've watered down our content. It's not as good as it used to be, but maybe it'll swing back because it's expensive and time consuming to make daily content. So, you know, people don't realize that, but you have a moment, like, cause sometimes, like, I'll literally be, I know I have to film tomorrow. I've got no choice. I've got to get the videos up, to the people. Cause you can't let them miss their workouts. Right. And again, these are not like, it's not a big deal, but we want to make sure you get your workouts. But there will be times literally, like, creatively, I'm just burnt out and I just can't figure out what to do. And I'll even walk in, and luckily things tend to usually happen great at the last minute, but sometimes you just got to get something on paper.
Yes.
Get out there. So take us through that creative process, because it's not always easy.
Oh, so I am, first of all, I'm very creative, but I'm also, since I'm a little girl, I'm ADHD, but like legit, I am not unmedicated thanks to sports, but as I age and the more knowledge also that you get. And again, I'm very creative when it comes to the workouts and tweaking and creating new little variations here and there. So it is hard. It is hard. Like, I'm pretty much until the day of filming, I tweak something. It is how my process. I've been creating a lot of workouts now for a new platform that I have coming up. And even though I've been consistently for the platform that I was working for Body, I used to do live classes. I had to create a certain workouts every month. It was the same process, but that was like, it was easier. There were certain formats that you stick to. But I forgot how much of a pain in the butt it can be for me. This process, but how much I love it too. It is, you know, I always thought I was not a creative person because I'm really bad at drawing and painting. And, you know, we all have creativity in many ways. And for me, when it comes to programming and making exercise accessible but fun and challenging, finding that little balance into, wow, this is hard, but it's doable. And that you're making people feel empowered through the process. So for me, I am an old school person. I have to write down everything by hand. That is my process. And my phone, I can't even tell you over the day how many times I have to stop to create workouts when that creativity. So I don't have a specific moment. I'm just constantly like writing down ideas on my notebook. And then from there, I kind of like start organizing my thoughts and then I start creating workouts. And then I do a format. What is the goal of this workout? Obviously, what is the purpose? And then I choose the best exercise for the warm up. I believe in long warm ups, the at home fitness world. And you know, that's true. Like, it is terrible when it comes to warm up. Like, if you're lucky, you get a 4 minute warm up. And I feel like people, I'm going to dare to say nowadays, even after 25 years old, I was going to say 30 or not, it might not be enough when it comes to like enough mobility, enough movement, especially like depending how intense the workout is. So I like to do like minimum 5 to 8 minutes of a proper, and then I kind of like progress into some activation, core stability. I prehab doing the warm-up exercises, since everybody needs, you know, everybody has something, whether it's the back, whether it's the knees, whether it's the shoulder, that they're lacking mobility or stability. And then I move on to the rest of the workout. If it's a strength portion, when it's a cardio, I like to divide them. But Yes, my process starts on paper and in my phone, and then I go to Google Docs.
I love that. No, and I like to, I have a composition notebook as well that I like to put pen to paper. When I really want to get like, when I want to stick my foot in it and really make something special, it's always pen to paper.
Is
When I'm just making a more regular routine thing, I tend to type it up on a spreadsheet. But the one thing I wanted to add to that is just also consumers listening. This is what we have to deal with as the professional side.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know in our own personal workouts, we might spend the first 20 to 30 minutes of the workout warming up, especially as you get older, or if you're really sore that day. We understand the body and we take the time because our
Yeah.
body's in the line. Our body is everything. Now, when we're making a workout, you have like 30 seconds to hook someone in.
Yes.
So if the workout starts too slow, or they're like 5 minutes in and they're not sweaty enough, or they're not panting in their minds because they think they have to like die to get an effective workout. Again, you can educate, but it takes time. You can't instantly educate people. So what I'm trying to say is, yes, we'd like these to be long. Most I give all trainers give trainers a benefit of the doubt. We want to warm you up properly, but a lot of times we have to skip that step for money reasons, time reasons, and/or just like entertainment reasons. And again, that's where we have to educate people better. And
Yes.
you know, when you get regular people, you can tell them, look, if and I even do things in some ways where you know, you can, if you want to skip ahead to the main workout and let them know, but we're gonna do this anyway. But you have to like balance this entertainment and professionalism, and it's tough. It's a very difficult marriage, and you have to fine-tune the process. In some audiences, you know, you could say if they're younger, more fit, maybe they don't need as much of a warm-up, but as
Yeah,
you know, the fitter you get, the more you have to warm up to get up to that level of
Yeah.
intensity. So again, a long way of saying, Adelise and I know what these balances we have to fight, but just so you give people a little bit more grace, you know, and by the way, there's you're having people between 20 and 65 years old,
Yes.
in all walks of life, who some don't work, some do work, and we have to find a way to get you the best possible version of whatever this particular workout is. It's not personal training.
It
It
is
never
not
will
personal
be, right?
training.
That's okay, but just understand what you're getting online training.
Yes,
You're
you're
getting a home video.
getting, yes, you're getting ideally sustainable workouts that fit into your day-to-day, things that you enjoy that will help you stay consistent in the process. And then I know that, and I know you've been bold too. I know you're not everybody's bold, but I know that we also give pretty badass performance gains to people who actually go through the whole programming, maybe do a few rounds of the programs and pay attention and let go of that idea that you need to do new workouts all the time. That is a misconception too in the industry. Like, oh, like you need to do continue to do different programs. And no, like the basics work, stick to progressive overload, stick to the exercises that feel good in your body. And again, stay focused on what you can do and just do it well.
You know, again, like I walk every day. I've never taken the exact same walk. Sometimes I focus on my form. Sometimes I focus on my breath. Sometimes I add weight. Sometimes I go uphill. Sometimes I go to grass. Sometimes I go to sand. Sometimes, you know, again, like this is the joy of fitness, but it's always walking. And, you know, that's really what's so tough is how do you make the same thing feel different enough so that people don't get bored? And, you know, ultimately, here's the answer, people. If you don't fall in love with movement, it's never going to work for you long term. You might be able to do a
Yeah.
21-day program, a 90-day program. You might even do it for a year, but then all of a sudden you realize, oh, I don't like this. And we have enough things we don't like in life. And so why are we going to make ourselves sweat and if it doesn't resonate with us and give us some energy and some joy? So you again, that's why I always tell people, focus on the easy stuff, the
Yes,
stuff
master the skill.
butterflies about, right? Stretching, walking, you know, playing, and then, you know, start playing with a little more intensity. Try to push it up a little bit.
Yes.
But start walking uphill. Don't start sprinting.
Yes. Yes.
Okay?
Master the basic, build a solid foundation. And like any other skills, that's what fitness is. Push-ups, squats. Like you'll be surprised how many people, I mean, I know you're not, but like for anybody who thinks, oh, I struggle, it's been years and I still cannot do a push-up or a squat. as a lot of people are like, you know, it's very common, but it's a skill, and it's, you know, and allow yourself to be a beginner too, and just to suck at something for a little bit until, you know, you continue to get better, give yourself grace. But just know that repetition is key. Repetition is key. And that's why I like that you walk. I think it's so sustainable. There's so many ways to make it fun, like interval walking, you do heels. Like there's, I know that's something that I've been on the days that I'm not running or I don't feel like it. I don't like to walk outside because I live in very humid Florida. So I save it for when I run, but I still do some incline on my treadmill, and even walking backwards on the treadmill, if you have, just to strengthen your knees, is such a great way to, you know, to continue adding movement. And it doesn't have to be a whole 30 minutes, 60 minutes. You can do 5 minutes, 10 minutes. That's another thing that I like movement snacks. Like, because if we spend the much, and I'm sure you've covered this already, but people nowadays, they still have that all or nothing mentality when it comes to fitness, and they want to skip the foundational movements. They want to skip the basics, and they think, you know, you need to crush it every single workout, and it's never going to be enough if you're not adding consistent movement throughout your day. Like, and I know that even when I'm asleep sometimes or watching TV, I'm stretching because I want this body to be able to keep moving this way for longer years ahead. And that's the goal too. It's not just about having, you know, an 8-pack, a 6-pack, you know, you want to move better. You want to be pain-free, and people forget about that little, you know, satisfaction and feeling like, wow, my back, I have less pain. I'm squatting deeper. I can do more push-ups. I can do a pull-up. And it's, there's a simplicity in that I know is the reason why I keep coming to workouts. Plus mental health, you know, the days that I don't feel like it, I'm like, okay, am I going to sleep? I don't want to sleep crappy today. I don't want to be in a bad mood. It's been a stressful day. And I know I have young kids that, you know, I want to be a loving mom most of the times.
There's such, so many good things there to add on. You know, one thing I want to add on is, and by the way, everybody listening, pay very close attention. You're about to get a lot of profound information, because I'm going to ask this question in a very certain way. In 10 words or less, what are the 5 moves you do mostly daily for your body?
90-90s, that's mobility.
That's the shin box.
So that is the 90-90 stretch for hip mobility. Yep. I do scorpions for my lower back. That is a mobility exercise for the back. I always do, for strength, I do glute bridges or hip thrusts to strengthen the glutes. When it comes to lower body exercise, if I can choose just one, I always do Bulgarian split squats. That is, to me, second to none. When it comes to that, because of my previous injuries, I cannot squat as heavy as I used to. I still do front squats with a barbell, back squat, but I notice, okay, I like to just, you know, I'm a runner, and also single leg work is humbling, and you can use half of the load and still see major changes in your strength and your stability. Arnold presses. I like Arnold presses or landmine presses. How many I've had so far? Single leg deadlifts. I love art. I love single leg deadlifts. I know that a lot of people struggle with it. It took me forever. I've always had decent form, you know, being an athlete, but I've realized that I feel like I finally master that every rep, at least 95% of my reps are like what my body alignment needs to be when it comes to single leg deadlifts a few months ago, like 6 months ago. Isn't that crazy after all these years that we've been in the industry? And I like the Spiderman stretch and the pigeon stretch for the glutes too. And I love push-ups. And I recently started doing pull-ups again. And it's been humbling, but I can do, because it was so many years. I had a shoulder injury actually before I filmed Metatread, and after that I pretty much stopped. And that was how many years ago we did that? 8?
That was, I think that was 2015.
So at least 8 years ago. Wow. So I haven't done a push-up since then, I mean a pull-up, and then I recently started introducing them. Reminding myself, let your ego aside. You got, you know, like you're not going to be able to do the same amount of reps that you used to do years ago. but I'm celebrating everything. And I did five the other day, and I'm like, damn, I did five, you know, when, because, but there's the thought that I need to fight sometimes, like, oh, but it's only five. And I'm like, no, celebrate that, because doing five pull-ups when you haven't is still a big deal. And I started doing it with the bands. So, and for me, the reason why I'm doing pull-ups is just pure empowerment, because I realized, okay, it is a challenging exercise, but I want to be able to still, like, I like being strong enough that I can hold my own body weight. Yes.
All right. I'm about to, Uncle Baby's about to give you a program.
Your
okay.
Body is your barbell. I remember that book.
You better remember it. I was all, I even shaved my body for the cover. I really put my best foot in that one. Now I'm a hairy mess. You know, I'm half Arab. What am I going to do?
You're gotta not let that it be. Hairy. You're not that. I've seen hairy people. You're normal. Yeah.
I've got some curls. I mean, like, it's gotten to the point now where, like, I'm having chips or jerky. There's like 300 calories on my chest by the time I'm done. I just fish it out. My dog comes by and eats my chest hair. That's probably too much information. But the here's what you're gonna do, because I believe you're capable of 20 pull-ups.
Oh, that was my record.
I knew it. I knew it. So here's what you're gonna do.
I know I'm gonna get there. I know.
Now you're working from home. I need you to get, if you don't have one already, a door pull-up bar.
Okay.
And you put it right in your office. And then all you do for the next year, every time you walk by that, just get on the bar. Maybe you're hanging.
Yes.
You do a single rep. Maybe you do as many as you can. Maybe you're doing them assisted. But just, I call it Eho, every hour in the hour. I find myself on that bar. It breaks up my work day. And basically, as a result, I don't do many pull-ups, but I do so much hanging.
Yeah, well, hanging is great. For.
I'm able to bring my pull-up capacity up without doing that many pull-ups. So what it does, it saves your joints and it focuses on what's most important, which is the mobility. Like you said,
yes,
you may not sprint like you used to, but you still get 70% of your running from. It's all about range of motion and mobility. In different seasons of life, you might have more time, energy to go harder, but the reality is most seasons of life will try you, and you have to be okay with, okay, maybe I'm not gonna be the strongest or fastest or at the pace and proficiency I used to, but I'm going to maintain my basic range of motion and mobility strength. And by the way, you can also do, you compare that with T-Rex. Warfarin. This is the home office solution. Just hit up 10
to 20. T-Rex. I have been rowing more. I actually took my T-Rex from, I found it on my husband's car. I'm like, what? Like, I guess when we moved over almost four years ago, and that's something that I used to do a lot of pulling movements. And then I took my rope and I've been doing but it's true. And the same applies for people who are like, want to do squats or want to get better, like spend time in that positioning, like in the bottom of the squat every day if you can. And I'm not talking about lifting heavier or squatting, but just getting your body into that position. But I'm going to do pull-ups every day. Thank you.
Yes. I'm psycho with this stuff. And I've tested this with people online. Basically, I've got a plan. It's a 12-week specialization. And by those listening, this is how I approach fitness at 41, knowing that I do this for a living. I can do all the recovery. I put hours a day to put out this meat. Okay. To put this meat out on stage and keep it supple. All right. Keep it tight. You don't have that time. So, in most cases. But I think at least once a year, maybe it's a month, maybe it's a quarter of the year, you have to make time for yourself to push yourself physically, because what that'll do for you, so you can maintain it for 9 months and you can push it for 3. You'll find a lot of longevity on that. It'll also keep you connected with your youth, because you know you can still do it. But when I was young, I didn't have to worry about the yard, the garage, the dishes, you know, like I could just focus on training. And I was also young. I could recover faster. So it's not that you can't do it anymore. It's that you can't do it at that rate. And you also didn't have the amount of other stressors in your life that get you to a point where stuff you used to love actually makes you worse.
That's
because
so
you're
true.
Working hard all day. So the last thing your body needs sometimes is a hard workout. It's just taking you over the edge. So we have to be honest with ourselves about that. But doesn't mean you don't have to push yourself occasionally. Because it's three months of gains. You can go playoff mode once a year and take those gains into a whole nother season.
And it's funny because without even me realizing. That's pretty much how I do it. I work really hard for like 2 months, 3 months, and something happens, or like I get busier and I just maintain it. And you're right, but I'm not abusing, I'm not working hard, I'm not following a training plan all year long. And it's, you know, I listen to my body pretty intuitively. So is that something that people need to remind themselves, even if you're following a training plan, that that listen to your body. That day you feel some kind of like pain in your hips, in your low back, adjust. Just adjust, modify, and switch it up. Maybe instead of, if you had a full body or cardio high intensity day, no, switch it up to a full mobility section or the recovery day, and you're in control. And it is so important to always realize that you are always going to be your own best coach. It's so important that, yes, you want to follow fitness pros that have credentials, but at the end of the day, you know your body best. And that's why it's important that you invest in your education, that you continue to read articles, buy books, like be true coachable, like in all sense, so that you can make the little tweaks in your nutrition, in your day to day, so that you continue getting lasting and sustainable results. And I think that's something that people forget, especially women in the industry. They just want, I just follow this meal plan, I just follow this training plan forever. And they don't know what to do when they have a setback, or when they get injured, or if, you know, or in a normal day, on vacation, now that it's holiday seasons, a lot of people feel overwhelmed because they haven't built those habits. They don't have the knowledge to know how to be flexible and how to adapt like all year around.
And, you know, so I know you got to go. She's a busy mom, so we got to get her out to take her daughter to gymnastics. Passing on the physical culture, I love that.
Yes.
If you want to ensure your kids are athletes for the rest of their natural lives, get your kids into calisthenics or gymnastics. Yes. Just make sure they don't abuse it and don't do too much repetition, but they will retain those skills forever.
That forever. Is so funny.
Six to 12, you're talking about like – just ensuring your child will always be athletic.
Yes. In that note, I, from all of my roles, all the things that I've done, one thing I know is how to make girls strong. Like my daughter, Valentina, she just turned 13. She's a competitive gymnast. And the main reason why we started in gymnastics was when she was 4 years old, just to build a foundation. She just ended up falling in love with it. But my youngest, I still, like, she wanted gymnastics. It wasn't possible at this time. And I just have the setup. I have the bars. She's been doing pull-ups. She has the beam. So I still have a setup for her in my garage. And I am so, like, just the strength that they get just by playing around every day with movement, to working on balance, I think is really, really important for kids to, you know, to have that healthy relationship with movement. So that it translates into having that more confidence. It doesn't matter how they look. My daughter's always going to know that, okay, I'm going to appreciate my body for everything that it allows me to do. And they're just active. And I think it's beautiful to start. It's important that they start young. And for them to see, if you're a new parent or you have kids, the relationship that you have with movement, with your nutrition, is going to translate into them. Somebody told me, whatever you don't heal, they get it worse. So, you know, make sure that continue to be a role model, and they are always watching, which is so true.
You know, we tend to pass on our baggage to the next generation. We got to be mindful of that. That's not easy, you know, because especially like, you know, coming from a background of obesity, you know, yes, whatever you can to not let your kids get fat, but then you can sometimes give them a food complex.
Yes.
Because being too, you know, super, too managerial about what they're eating, and you get them anxiety about it. And the worst thing you can have is anxiety about food. There are very few bad foods,
yes,
that are natural. Okay. In fact, there really aren't no bad natural foods. You can stay away from the unnatural foods. That is more than half the battle, but you don't want to pass on an obsessive eating complex, yeah, to your kids. And it's tough. You know, and I'm glad you touched on that. The one thing I want to say to you before we say, you know, where to find more, and you got this exciting new app coming out, Your Own Workouts, Your Own Way, which is going to be fantastic. I'm really excited for you. I saw,
I'm so excited,
all the excitement in your eyes that maybe you haven't had in a while, because,
yes,
you got some creative freedom. So now it's coming, yes, back. I wanted to touch on what it truly means. So the two people talking right now in this whole episode, we've managed to accomplish everything we've ever wanted in life through fitness. We've done it some ways similarly, some ways other, but ultimately what for our own selves, what Italise and I have discovered is the best way to train our individual bodies, right? I'm 100 pounds. I would love to run. I'm 100 pounds heavier than you. And by the way, I still have some mobility issues and some stability issues in my knee where if I do run, because I'm this big, I can really hurt myself just by a single run. Whereas someone who might be, 100 pounds less that had never had knee issues, they can just go and run, not worry about it. Or for me to run, I have to do at least a 30 minute warm up, and sometimes only have 20 minutes to train. Right. So I'm choosing, okay, I could go run right now without a warm up, but I might hurt myself and I can't do my job. So again, what I'm trying to say is it's not about being a mesomorph, ectomorph, endomorph. We all have individual strengths and weaknesses, and we all have injury histories. And ultimately there's some things we enjoy doing, some things we don't enjoy doing. You can't just not do, some challenging things that are your weaknesses. You got to still test yourself, but you've got to find a way to make it work for you. There's no program out there except the one that you're willing to experiment with for a lifetime. To find, right? Because you're at the age now where I joke, excuse my language, it's from a popular rap song. You just fuck around and get a triple double. Meaning you just because you're so knowledgeable and you've been doing this for so long, you can just step in and just get a great workout on the fly. And you can adjust for yourself based on how you feel today and what you have to do tomorrow. And that takes years.
That takes years.
By the way, only time this gets fun.
It is.
Follow other people's programs, great, but you really start to enjoy fitness when you make up your own programs.
Yes, I agree 100%. Nobody knows my body, my injury history. Again, we are our best coaches, but I have to emphasize. Yes, I agree 100%. Nobody knows my body the way that I do, my injury history. But to emphasize, I have coaches in the past. I continue to learn till this day. It's not like I know it all. I think that's an important thing, but I definitely... Now, I don't put myself at the mercy of other people's workouts anymore, unless I know, okay, I always ask. But even the few times that I've done follow along to support any of my friends that have programs coming out, I will, because I know how to modify, I'm like, oh, that's a leg exercise, but I don't like that one. I'm going to do the one that I like for that interval of time. And I think that's something that I highly encourage everybody who's listening to do, to continue to. Again, to learn so that you know how to switch it up. But I am definitely having fun with my fitness, with my programming. And yes, I'm grateful for all the knowledge and for all the people that came before me that have, contributed so much to in the fitness industry, because there's so much amazing information out there, so many fitness pros. And I think is good that I'm grateful for that, for all the knowledge that is out there and the education that at least saved me, saved my marriage, saved my life, saved the kind of mom that I was going to become. And I will always tell people, just invest in your education, continue learning, and continue to move your body in ways that you enjoy.
You are a real special person, a treat to have on the show. And by the way, you're welcome anytime. You got something coming up.
Yes, thank you.
I'd love to do 5 different recordings with you anytime.
Yes, let's do it. And hopefully my internet, it's been my internet. I don't know what's happening here in Parkland, Florida. Raining a lot.
I talked some shit about Mark Zuckerberg recently, and ever since then, my technology has not been working. So they're listening. They're listening to us. I want to give you the opportunity to tell people where to learn more about you. Please, by the way, please follow. This is a true professional. She lives the part. She lives the life. And she's got also a gift. That's the triple threat. So I hope you guys, please go follow and learn from this woman. She is fantastic. Tell us where they can find you.
Thank you. You can find me on Instagram at Ivy Fitness, and my website is ivyfitness.com. And stay on the look for the new years for the new app called Uplift, where I'm going to be everything, strength training, mobility, girls workouts, empowering the youth now. Now that I've been raising 3 daughters, it's going to be also special guided runs, guided walks, and amazing collabs. Hopefully that will start happening soon through the app as well with amazing individuals out there.
I'm going to put all links in the show notes. So please check it out. And look, we just gave you an hour of our professional times. We could bill them $300 for this session. So they know, like, it's great. So I'm going to ask you to not be so lazy and give us a 5-star rating and review. And look, you can just 5-star takes a second just to click 5 stars.
Yes.
And then just the review, just say BJ podcast good. 3 words. Okay. It'll take you 10 seconds.
BJ podcast good.
BJ podcast good. That's all you got to say.
Not even he's good. Just no,
people think they got to write like, oh, I'm like, they're waiting 5 years to give me the perfect review. No, just say BJ podcast good.
Okay, I have this busy. Every time I go to a place, please write us a review. I am the worst, but when I write reviews, I do think it's true. I'm like, oh my God, I have to write a lot of stuff and I've learned. Just keep it simple, just from the heart.
This podcast, BJ podcast, good. and by the way, here, special offer. I'll sweeten the deal. I'll give you a French kiss if you give me a review. If you see me in life, I'll get a pass my wife. You'll get a French kiss.
That's a great deal.
I'll exchange a French kiss for a simple review. And by the way, it just has to be BJ podcast. Good. Thank you so much for your time, guys. And give Idalise a follow. She is a gift.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for everybody who listened. And I am so grateful that you're here. You are in amazing hands with the best of the best, BJ. Until the next one, BJ. Thank you again.